am Alice. I work at Capfruit AG in Switzerland, a company from Switzerland. And today I'm going to talk about Trusted Boot with the Gnode OS framework, aka using TPM with Gnode. A word about Capfruit. So once upon a time, some team of engineers that work in R&D could create a real-world product based on microkernel and capability-based security. In 2018, these five engineers founded Capfruit AG. One of the most important milestones in 2020, Capfruit released its first MVP, a trusted execution environment for the banking industry, and I joined Capfruit. Since then, Capfruit has committed with different partners and created a network to work on products for the IoT sectors, mostly using embedded devices based on ARM or x86. These devices are mostly used to interconnect other devices to the internet, or even with the ambition to completely replace different sets of machines to be only one board on the industrial machine that does the machine control and also connect to the internet. This is a set of requirements then that we have for our private key infrastructure. We want our device to be shipped from the factory with zero touch provisioning. What we are meaning here is that we don't want any human or any specific intervention to happen on the device. It's provisioned in the factory and it's brought to our customer and it should connect to the cloud and fetch its configuration for there. For this, we need to create some key to provide access to the cloud. Another thing that we want to do for that is to use the trusted compute base to record the boot chain environment in PCRs. And for that, we're going to use a router strut. It's going to be a TPM, a trusted platform module. We're also going to use the TPM to sign short-lived certificates so that legacy app can easily access the cloud. And all of this is running on a microkernel-based operating system. So the design goal we have for the TPM stack is compatibility and separation of concerns. We don't want a huge monolithic block. We have different components, and some of them are part of the TCB. We need them to be able to easily trust them, such minimal trusted compute base. We also want for application to benefit from existing libraries. Also, we want integration with measured boot and non-brittle PCRs. We do want this because we want to be able to update the system, and we want to be sure which system is actually running. So further than secure boot, we want to be sure this is this image that is running, and eventually we also want, when updating, to do rollback prevention. Finally, we use TPM to authenticate and integrate our old PKI, and we also want compatibility with legacy application. So the foundation of all of this is measure boot and platform configuration register, a monitoring system image that is extended in PCR 8 and 9. So let's look at a practical example. DFS Trezor Trust Anchor. What is Trezor? Trezor is the consistent block encryptor created by Gnode. It's actually an ecosystem. And most notably, we have its Trust Anchor. So in Gnode, VF is not like any operating system where we have a global file system. We have a file system server and that provides the session interface and all the microkernel stuff. And the actual implementation of the file system, they usually come as plugins, shared objects. For example, if you have an actual file, you can have the implementation of an actual file system from a block device. But in the same fashion that Linux likes to do character device, we can also create a plugin that will be the driver for the TPM and expose it as a file. That's the architecture we decide to take. So everything that we are seeing here, from the TPM up to the Trezor Trust Anchor, is actually file system plugins, at the exception of two other devices. So how does that look like? We have the hardware down there. We have what we call the TPM host. It's going to be a subsystem that contains the driver for the hardware. In the middle, we have the TPM mux. It's going to multiplex the TPM and some resources. More detail about this coming. And finally, we have the Trezor Trust Anchor. The Trezor Trust Anchor is basically abstracting for the rest of the subsystem the secret key that is used by the CPE. So it has different set of files that abstract the operation you can do. But the three main operation we are interested in from the TPM is creating the secret key, sealing it, and unsealing it. And what we are going to do is power up this plugin using a TPM. We can also have at the same time other components. We have the TPN to random. Here it's basically just a libc-based example from the libDSS. Or we can have a TPN to PCR report that basically reports the state of the PCR in an XML blob. And report is a specific session in the GNOME operating system framework. It's mostly used for debugging. So the supported hardware. Let's have a look at the TPM ops subsystem. TPM comes in different fashions. We may have discrete TPM, we have firmware TPMs, and we also have TPMs on USB key, because why not? On discrete TPM, usually they are connected to the main SOC using a bus, SPI bus or an I2C bus. So the first plugin is going to abstract the platform and a ping control session into a file system session, so yeah, hence just a file. That's going to be dev SPI. But the dev SPI that has a read-write interface is just an actual abstraction to the bus. If we want to use it for the TPM, we will need the TPM TIS. This is going to be to translate the ability to write a full command and handle all the bus operation. For x86, we have the TPM CRB, so TPM can be accessible from the command response buffer interface. And in that case, we can directly write the whole command to the bus. So in that case, we all directly have the TPM raw file. And finally, for USB key, we are taking advantage of a cool feature of the GNOME that it actually do. So on a higher level, we ported the TPM to TSS library so client application can use the TPM. This library comes from the Linux world and expect a dev TPM 0 device. The TPM MUX provides this device. It multiplexes the command if different components want to access the TPM, but most importantly, it loads and unloads object managed limited resources. As I said, the TPM is a discrete device. It has a few persistent objects, but most of the time, when you want to do an operation, you will need to load in advance first the resource that you need, and then you can perform an operation. And then you need to unload those resources. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to perform many operations. This component does that for you, so the application doesn't have to handle at this level this resource management. On Linux, we have the TPM2 ABRMD, which come also for the Linux world, but it's way too complex for our use case. And also, we want to keep the TCP as small as possible. So Stefan Tony wrote the TPM MUX, a simple VFS plugin keeping the TCP small. Now, the Trezor Trust Anchor. So it's a file plugin. What mostly do is generate the CBE secret key, and it sends the secret key on a persistent file system. When the system is brought down, and later on you turn it on, and you want to unlock your CBE again. For that, we use the TPM2 TSS library that reads the TPM0 file from the TPM MUX. It uses policy session for PCR and passphrase authorization. This is where all the magic happens. Remember, at the beginning, you were using MesureBoot and adapting our boot chain, we have measured all the boot components of the operating system. So when we reach the state of the full, of the running operating system, all the PCR has been extended with things that matters to us to be measured. We will use those values to authorize certain operation on the TPM or not. Let's have a look at which function actually the Trust Anchor will use from the TPM2 TSS library. Here, there is actually an important detail. When the Trust Anchor is constructed for the first time and access the TPM, we will need to provision it. In this specific case, for the sake of simplicity, if it's not provisioned, what we are going to do is create a policy PCR, and for that we are going to select a set of PCR and their value, and they are going to result in a digest in the policy. Then we are going to ask the TPM to create an NV space. NV space is one of these persistent objects in the TPM. And we are going to write this policy digest that we just created in there. And we select the PCR we want using this policy PCR. And this time, we result with a digest. We are going to do a policy authorized NV. What happened in the TPM is that the digest that is in the policy is compared again the one in the NV RAM. Those two must match. In the result operation, whether either the policy is authorized, either it is not. Then we will extend this policy with a password. This is basically the passphrase the user provides. The result digest is basically wrapped into the private part of the key we are using to seal the secret key. On a TPM, when you generate a key, the private part that you get and store on your system is always encrypted, so you can't access the actual private key. Only the TPM can. And then we are basically done. We have our wrapped secret key. Later on, we want to unseal, so we load our secret key. We recreate our policy again. We authorize it against the NVRAM. We set the policy password. And if everything is authorized, then we can actually unseal from the private key and get the secret key. Trust Anchor is still work in progress. I have mentioned a few things. First of all, I haven't talked about the different hierarchy, but there exists different hierarchy onto which you can create different keys and a primary key that you can derivate other keys. And those different hierarchy has different property. Here we have been using the owner hierarchy, and a proper use of the TPM, the owner will want to set the owner password. In that case, we don't have any input GUI to provide it, so we assume it's not set, which on a productive environment, we shouldn't do that. Later on, we also don't have input GUI to provide the old value for the NV space. So it means that when we provision the TPM in the first place, we have created a random and we said this is the password to access the NV space. We wrote it, and as soon as we are done, we get rid of the password. This is a problem because this means that now we have brittle PCRs. We are protected from an attacker. It's very good. No one can change the NVRAM, and no one can pretend booting another system. Now, we rest in a trust instead. You can't do that. The problem is, if you're using an operating system such as Colt, and you're updating to the next version, your policy for the PCR are not matching again. So you can't unlock your CVE anymore. So for that, we need a mechanism to update the PCR values to actually update the policy digest in the NVRAM when the PCR value change because of a system update. Finally, and most notably the biggest problem we have is the TPM to TSS depends in the libc. So a problem that might not be obvious in the first place is that everything is running in file systems. Those are file system plugins. This plugin, you may need such things as an allocator. There is two ways to proceed here. Either provide a minimal libc that is not relying on the VFS, only to perform operations such as allocation, or eventually just armor down change with patches on top of the library. The lessons learned. TPM are hard. Most notably, we had a case where we sealed a key, and then we unseal it, and the unsealed value is not matching the value we unsealed. Because something I haven't mentioned earlier, but we were using parameter encryption. This means any sensitive data provided to the TPM is not visible to a potential observer on the bus. And if it's not done properly, eventually you might decrypt garbage and just get garbage in return. But there is a good advantage is providing vitamins instead of painkillers when using the TPM. Using TPM to TSS and upgrading OpenSSL brings challenge when using the VFS when they depend on the libc. And also, what's really neat with the file system plugin architecture is that it's a very good way, from my perspective, to organize the complexity of all these things together and to expose them to third-party application or subsystem without having a huge monolith block. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Alice, for this great talk on a very important subject. And we have lots of time for questions because this is the last talk. So, who has a question? I have a question. What you've described so far seems to be mostly focused on a static root of trust. Have you also looked at a dynamic root of trust rooted in PCRs 17 and 18?
No, I think I can't answer this question because my knowledge are limited to this. However, what we are planning to fix this, to have non-brittle PCR, is to use signed policy and to rather provide the policy part of the boot image and to let the TPM recognize this policy saying, oh, this was inside by a trusted authority, such as, for example, our company or any provider of the boot image, and then said, okay, now we can load this policy that contains the wrapped PCR value. But there is certainly other mechanisms that I'm not aware of.
Okay. One of the features that recent versions of Nova provide is this TXT measured launch, where you don't have to rely on a bootloader and this long chain of trust anymore. And if Alexander at some point gets to the point where this becomes generally usable for Gnode, I think you'll benefit from that too.
Certainly.
Any other questions?
So when you have mentioned the USB hardware implementation, I did not quite get your description.
I'm here, but it's SPI, but it's certainly just a bug interface as well. The motivation, I think that it was done in the first place. So Stefan, Tony, when they came to me and said, oh, look, I have done that and we finally can use, is that most distribution right now, unfortunately, doesn't have the so to use this on a Linux platform, this TPM2Go, you need a version of TPM2TSS that is recent enough that it contains the proper TCTI that's not reading from TPM0 but using the libUSB. So unfortunately, it's very difficult to rebuild yourself the TPM2TSS. It's not a difficulty, but not update it on your system because you break a lot of dependencies. So a way we say is, oh, maybe it's actually just easier to create this for Gnode and using it from Gnode, because what we want to do is Gnode development. So that was the first motivation. But I think we will certainly come with support on top of base HWU.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, then thanks again, Alice.